Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the VR2 on SI podcast. I'm your host, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI writer and my friend, Jake Nichols. And we're recording this on a fantastic Thursday afternoon in Knoxville, Tennessee. For me, I'm on Rocky Top enjoying my campus apartment. And as for Jake, well, he's pretty old now, so his campus living days are behind him. But anyway, Jake, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, but you didn't have to open this podcast with some shade.
Hey, it's sunny outside. We need some shade, you know?
Okay, I will have to give it to you. That was pretty good.
Well, before we get started here talking about camp updates and specifically focusing on the offensive line and defensive line, I want to tell all of you guys about Accurate Travel Company by Dream Vacations. If you're looking to book travel this summer at any time but don't want to do all the monotonous work, contact our friends Beth and Price at Accurate Travel Company so that they can do all the work for you. Accurate Travel Company is currently sending you a $50 Visa gift card to book with them. I mean, what's there to lose? Give them a call now to find that dream vacation. All right, Jake, so you're our insider on fall camp. You know, you've been there day in, day out. Today, we're focusing on the offensive line and defensive line, like I mentioned. So just kind of walk us through since, you know, the past week and a couple of days and what you've seen and, you know, go into depth on those lines here.
Yeah, so I think the first thing that you should note about the offensive line is kind of what Alex Golich said yesterday after media availability, that he talked about the depth of the offensive line unit and how he equated that almost to the depth at the running back position, which if you know anything about Tennessee's running backs at this point, then you know that they've got a stable of guys that could be really good, albeit being inexperienced. With this line, you know, they've talked about having seven to eight to nine guys that they feel comfortable with putting on the field. Right now, the rotation remains with Darnell Wright at left tackle, with Jerome Carvin at left guard, Cooper Mays at center, Javonte Spraggins at right guard, and then Cade Mays at right tackle. I think we could see Cade work some at right guard as well. The staff has talked about his versatility and just how much he's, you know, been so skilled at that since coming from Georgia, and also just his experience and his desire with being a hometown guy of trying to be one of the guys to help write this program after, as mentioned, after kind of an unsuccessful year last year. You know, when you look back and think about it, with the fact that Tennessee had Trey Smith, who's now with the Kansas City Chiefs, and Cade Mays, and so much potential success on that offensive line last year, and yet it completely crumbled, then I think you've got a lot of motivation in that unit to kind of correct things this year and to be better. But you know, I think that Glenn Ellerbe really likes that group. Obviously, they're still missing Kayron Calvert. There's no update on when he'll be back. Josh Heupel had told us a week or two ago that he would be out for an extended period of time with no other specification after that bicep injury for him. But yeah, I think that that after that first five, that it gets a little tricky, that, you know, you start looking at guys like Jackson Lampley and Ollie Lane, who's been out, but who could, you know, if he's able to come back, should see maybe some playing time as a second team guy. But, you know, after that first group, they mentioned that they've got 7 to 8 guys that they like, but I think that after that first five that I mentioned of Mays, Spraggins, Mays, Carvin, and Wright, that it gets a little sticky. So, you know, you could see some promise, I think, out of guys like William Parker, who has shown considerable size and really a lot of versatility early on. And, you know, he can really move well. Obviously, the Pearl Cone product came to Tennessee for a good reason. But, you know, he's one of those guys that could get some early time. He's carrying some good weight right now and has some considerable size on him. So, but yeah, the offensive line unit, I think that the biggest thing for them is that sense of motivation. Like I said, that after last year, that they want to come out and show that they're different and that they're carrying themselves a different way. And I think that Glenn Ellerbe has latched onto that in drills, and that he's helped drive that point home and has really helped revamp this group. So I think that you could see a good effort from those guys, but I think that that it will obviously be a struggle, as mentioned, without Kayron Calvert. When you look at the defensive line, this group has worked a lot through turnover circuits from what we've seen so far in camp, or not so far in camp. Camp is now over, I apologize, as we are only a week from game day. But they worked a lot through turnover circuits, and I think you really like what you see from Tyler Barron, from Byron Young, from Dejon Terry. But there are still, you know, a lot of questions. You know, you've got guys, as mentioned, and Young and Barron and in Terry, and, you know, and guys like Omari Thomas as well that have some experience, but Tennessee has yet to really find a true pass rusher on this defensive front. They only warranted 20 sacks last year. So, you know, you have to look at that as a group that needs a game changer. And we'll see if Byron Young could be that. We'll see if Tyler Barron can take that next step this season, or if Omari Thomas can come up big. I know he got some playing time last season, not enough in my opinion, but you know, there are still some questions with that group too. I think that pass rush has got to be one of your biggest concerns going into this first game against Bowling Green, because we've heard that this group has made strides under Rodney Garner. And, you know, Garner has had several great quotes talking about his guys, that he's talked about holding them to a higher standard, and that Tennessee standard is unrelinquished, that, you know, that every day that you're looking to get better, obviously, in some way, and that there is never an end to improvement in his eyes. And, you know, you can see that every day with him in the way he coaches and in the way he gets on guys. And that's part of what's made guys like Walter Nolan maybe want to come play for him. But, you know, Garner is a fantastic coach to have over that group. But as far as what Tennessee is actually going to get in pass rush, I think it's questionable. I think that they're going to be much better in run defense early on, but that you have to worry about how much pressure they're getting on the pocket. So I guess we will see going forward. But like I said, after, you know, an unsuccessful year last year, a lot to prove for the offensive line, and then a lot to prove as well on the defensive side after they struggled with pass rush last year, and they really need to get something in that this year. Like I said, we'll see if one of those guys can kind of become the monster that Tennessee needs on that defensive front, because that's what makes any SEC football team successful, or any college football team really, is having that definitive pass rusher, that guy that you know is going to get in the backfield on third and short, on third and long even, or just whenever you need a big stop. So I think that's the big question to answer for Tennessee right now. But both of those units, you know, do have some bright spots going into this first game.
Yeah, good stuff there. And I just wanted to go back to the offensive line real quick. You know, Cade Mays, he's obviously a senior. He's been right. One of the best Tennessee offensive linemen since he transferred from Georgia. Of the seven starts he had last season, six of them came at right guard. So now he's coming into the season starting at right tackle because Trey Smith is gone, of course. Do you think we could see any struggles for Mays on that front, or do you think it'll just be really smooth with Mays in that transition?
I don't think so. I think that he's had enough experience rotating at that spot, you know, at Georgia, that he should be fine, because I know he was at right tackle plenty there as well. So I think that he should be fine. And I think he even played at right tackle some in high school too at Knox Catholic, if I remember right. So I think he should fit in well there, and that it shouldn't be too much of a transition for him, you know, moving from one spot on the line, just down one essentially. But I think the bigger transition comes for Darnell Wright. You know, we've talked to him already about the fact that he's moved from right tackle to left tackle, and he's talked about having to adjust, just, you know, turning everything backwards essentially, that but that he's getting used to it, he's getting the hang of things. But that I think that Wright is certainly one to watch and to pay attention to in those first couple weeks, because if he struggles in game situations when bullets are flying, and obviously, you know, in that situation, whoever Tennessee's quarterback is, that that Wright is going to be protecting that blind side. And so if you see some early struggles there, then I think that you know that maybe the adjustment hasn't been as smooth in game action or maybe in scrimmages as when we've just seen him in practice. But, you know, I think that's the bigger question. I think that Cade Mays should be fine at that right tackle spot based on how he did it at Georgia and just based on the fact that he's a veteran guy. He's, you know, got the experience and knowledge to be able to switch around in those different spots and be able to know the different techniques that he has and to know the different assignments and adjust accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, dude's a stud. He has great football knowledge, so I agree. There should be no problems with the transition, hopefully anyway. But before we move on to talking defensive line again, I just want to ask you, you know, we got a lot of youth here on the Tennessee offensive line with Dane Davis, Fraggins, Cooper Mays, yep, guys who are going to see playing time, maybe even some James Robinson here and there. So I want you to pick one sleeper and one breakout for this offensive line for the upcoming season. Who you got?
I'm going to say one breakout is Dane Davis. I think that, you know, he's a guy that so much through camp that this staff has liked, and even through spring ball that they've talked about him consistently and that they really, really, really like him. And, you know, I think that he could really pick up some big blocks for this unit and could really become a major factor, at least on that second team, and, you know, work his way maybe into that starting unit too, because we've seen him work some with, you know, the ones already in practice. But, you know, I think that a sleeper, you go back to who I talked about earlier, William Parker. I think that, you know, considering he's just a freshman, that he's got notable size and that he seems to have good flexibility, can move well. And so I think that you might look to number 64 out of Pearl Cone to maybe make some noise as a young guy in this unit.
All right, nice. And same thing with defensive line. Who you got for sleeper and a breakout?
Breakout, I'm definitely going to go Byron Young, just because of everything we've heard about him, you know, from his off-the-field story, which is absolutely incredible, to, you know, his on-field success. The guy has shown that he has that athleticism already and that he has some fantastic ability and can really move well. He's strong. He's got good leverage. And I think he could really be a big-time player for this unit. And then going on to a sleeper, I think that that one's a little harder. I might have to pick Matt Butler, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, he's a senior. He's been a guy that's ridden through the highs and lows of this program. But I think that, you know, when it counts, that we could see him come up big too, that he's grown a lot already under this staff, and that I think that we could see him really try to put a positive stamp on his final year here at Tennessee.
And do you think Vol Nation should expect to see both transfers in Dejon Terry and Caleb Tremblay quite a lot this season?
I think they should expect to see Terry more than Tremblay. I think that we've seen Tremblay work more with kind of that second unit and could maybe come in more as a sub. But I think that Terry should be an immediate impact guy, that with that size, that he should be be able to make some noise pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, and Tremblay's probably competing for a draft spot. You know, this is probably his last year in collegiate play. So, you know, it's kind of a make or break season, I guess, for him.
That's
from
true.
USC.
He's certainly been there long enough. I think I heard the other day that he's been at Tennessee been in college or through college camps. I think it's like 7 or 8 years at this point. So, you know, if you want to talk about veteran leadership, obviously I referenced that with Cade Mays. But if you want to talk about the guy that has the most experience in that, you'd probably be looking at Tremblay after he came over from USC. So he certainly got plenty of experience just in going through the grind of college football. And that has, you know, I think has certainly helped with his transition to Tennessee and helping some of these younger guys along. But yeah, as far as more of the immediate impact guy and breakout, I think you'd look more at Dejon Terry.
Gotcha. Nice. And all right, that'll wrap up offensive line and defensive line talk. And just one quick last question. I know you got to go, Jake, but obviously the quarterback competition has dominated the drama, the publicity of this offseason. It seems that Joe Milton is pretty much the front runner at this point. Would you be surprised if Milton is not named the starter going into week one?
Yeah, I would be, just after everything we've heard and with the way that even the fan base has reacted. You know, I think that I would be shocked if Tennessee does not name Joe Milton the starter. But, you know, we heard from Alex Golesh yesterday that that obviously that decision will be left up to Josh Heupel. And so yeah. I think that will be coming out in the coming days. I don't think it'll be a full-on Jeremy Pruitt affair where we saw that the starter wasn't named until they literally jogged out for that first snap. But but I think that it'll still be kept close to the vest, maybe for a few more days. But I do think that it would be Joe Milton, or would at least be surprised if it wasn't at this point, just given kind of everything that we've heard about what the staff likes about him and, you know, the difference that he can make in this offense.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this episode of the VR2 on SI podcast. We had a pretty short one today. Jake had places to go. I had places to go. So we just decided to throw one together for you guys today. Hope you all enjoyed it. Thank you all for listening to us. It allows us to do what we love week in and week out, and that is to talk Tennessee sports. Jake, what you got planned for the rest of the week, man?
Man, I'm going to try to get out to Powell and Maryville later tonight and see a little bit of Walter Nolan, obviously. Some other Tennessee targets on that Powell team in Aiden Green and Adarius Redmond. But Maryville always has a fantastic team, and this should be one of the premier games early in this high school football season across the state of Tennessee. So I'm pretty pumped to get over there later tonight. I may be rolling in a little late, but hopefully that'll be a good one. And then I may be going to watch Alcoa tomorrow night. And then after that, the countdown begins until next week, and then it'll be football time in Tennessee. So I'm incredibly excited, and I know you are too.
Yes, sir. I'm excited to see you in the press box, especially.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody. That will do it for this episode of VR2 on SI Podcast. Be sure to stay in tune with everything going on VR2 on all the socials, along with Jake at jnichols_2121. He's going to be your guy for all things Tennessee football this season from Neyland. From everywhere. So for next time, for Jake Nichols, I'm Jack Foster. We'll see all of you wonderful people next time.